Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. Stand to your feet with me. Turn with me to the book of Micah. If you can't find it, don't worry. You're not alone. Your neighbor next to you is probably having a hard time finding it too. But we're going to be in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. If you do not have your Bible or if you don't have it on your tablet, your phone, or some other device, who knows? Maybe you've got it on your Apple Watch. I don't know. As long as you have a Bible, that's what's important. And we're going to look at Micah chapter 6, verse 8, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And then we're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and read the 33rd verse there as well. It says this in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He, speaking of God, has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. While you're turning there today, I want to let you know that I'm going to be talking about having healthy habits in your life. I believe that we all should be people that as we go throughout life and we conduct our life, that we're making sure that we're doing so in a healthy manner that's pleasing to God, helpful to other people. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, because this is a warning from the Apostle Paul. And he says this to the church, do not be deceived. Now, every time you read that, you need to take close account of what is being said, because so often we go, well, I'm not deceived. Well, the problem is when you're deceived, you don't actually know that you're deceived. And so we need to open our eyes and not think, well, I am immune to being deceived. No one is immune to being deceived. In fact, the Bible says even the very elect can be deceived or led astray. So we need to open our eyes and go, okay, if he's warning us about not being deceived, I need to be intentional to apply this to my life, to take it for real, and to slow down and go, what is it that I don't need to be deceived about? Here it is. Evil company corrupts good people. Habits. Y'all didn't even know the Bible talked about habits, did you? You thought habits were just something that we developed in America. No, every single person has habits. And the Bible says that evil company can corrupt good habits. And over in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it says that God has already shown us how we should conduct our life, how we should live our life, to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Before we unpack this today, and before you're seated, let's say a prayer together. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that it's eternal and that it's full of life. I thank you that you showed us the path. You have shown us the way. And you have not just shown us, but you've equipped us and empowered us through the Holy Spirit to be able to walk it out. I pray that today your word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword, would pierce between bone and marrow, soul and spirit, and it would be the discerner that we need of our thoughts and the intents of our heart. We open ourselves to you. Let he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I empty myself of me. I ask that you would fill me fresh and new with the Holy Spirit to be able to properly discuss and declare what you are saying to your body today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you once again so much for being here today. It's so good to see each and every one of you. And as I said earlier, today I'm going to talk to you about having healthy habits in your life. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't really have any habits. And I would say you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Because every single one of us have habits. From the way that we wake up, I don't know about you, but the first thing I go to when I wake up is to make coffee. And then I get my Bible out and I begin to read my Bible. And so we all have habits. Maybe it's the way that you decompress when you get home from work. Maybe you take the left shoe off before you take the right shoe off and you don't even know it, but that's a habit in your life. So we all have things that we do habitually. And here's what I want you to get today as we're talking about this. Not all habits are bad. So often when we hear the word habit, we just immediately put bad in front of it. Bad habits. But if something is unhealthy and something is not advantageous, it's not beneficial to your life, then yes, that is a bad habit. But the truth is we all have habits, and from the way that we start our day to the way that we end our day, and we really are, as human beings, creatures of habit. But the key in godly living, and I don't know about you, but I want to live in a godly manner. Anybody else here today? Hopefully you came to church today because you want to become more godly, not just because you want to fulfill a religious obligation. But the key in godly living is to create good habits and healthy habits. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he quoted the poet Menander, he said, bad company corrupts good habits. Now, filling your time and attention with things that are good and are beneficial is going to empower you and help you to create those good habits that are profitable not only for yourself, but for those that are around you. You see, the one reason you need to have healthy habits in your life is not just so that you can be a good person, you can be godly, that's important, but also because your habits speak volumes to your children. Your children see you seeking God in the morning. Your children see you not seeking God in the morning. Your children hear what you say about your boss and hear what you say about your neighbor, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And their habits are going to be formed based upon your habits. There's some things that I do just because my dad is Greg DeVries, right? And there's certain characteristics that I have, the way that I think, the way that I speak. And you need to realize, especially parents, that the influence that you have in your children and your grandchildren is great, and you are helping to form the habits that will eventually shape their life. A habit, by definition, is this. It's a settled or regular tendency or practice. But this is my favorite part, especially one that's hard to give up. Now, we've all had bad habits in our life that we wanted to stop doing the wrong thing. In fact, Paul even talked about this. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And we've all felt that way in our life. I know this is a bad habit. I know I need to stop it, but it's really hard to give up. It's really hard to quit. Well, what if we flip that on the opposite side and we became so invested and so intentional in doing what is right, in doing what is helpful, in doing what is good in the eyes of God, that it became hard to give it up, not hard to do it. You see, sometimes we look at the responsibility and the weight that we have as Christians, and we read the Word of God and we go, man, that's just so hard. What if we surrendered our heart to the point where God was so much in control and in charge and so much king that it wasn't hard to do it? It was hard not to do it because we had such a great understanding of the way that He loves us and gave Himself for us. And so often we talk about bad habits, you know, drinking too much, eating too much, smoking, gossiping, lying, assuming, procrastinating. Some of you guys were like, oh, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't, you know, I'm free on those. Well, what about procrastination? Right? Procrastination at the moment seems like your best friend, but it will soon become your worst enemy. And you've got to make sure that you protect yourself from these bad habits. Now, none of these things that I just listed are helpful, nor are they beneficial in nature. So they are, in fact, bad tendencies to have in your life. But I don't know about y'all, but I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Where are my optimists at? Come on. Glass half full kind of guy. So I like to focus on what we should be doing, not just what we shouldn't be doing. Here's why. Because what if we made a habit out of being kind? What if we made a habit out of being generous? What if we made a habit out of sharing the gospel? What if we made a habit out of forgiving? What if we made a habit out of helping others? What if we made a habit out of speaking words of encouragement? That it wasn't something we forced, it was something that just came out of it because it's second nature to us, because we have done it so much with a heart that longs to impart something into other people that every time that we open our mouth, good comes out instead of bitterness coming out. Help comes out instead of, you know, negativity coming out. What if those things became so ingrained into our regular tendencies and way of life that they were hard to give up instead of hard to walk out. The word habit shares its root with the word habitation, okay? And the word habitation means this, the state or process of living in a certain state, okay? So it's the process, it's basically saying your habitation is the way that you live your life. So I want you to get this today. Our habits create our habitation, okay? So the habits that you create and the habits that you adopt and the habits that you intentionally give yourself to, they're going to create the life that you are going to live in. The life that you're living is a direct reflection of your habits. That's why today I want you to leave here with the determination. I want to have good habits. I want to have healthy habits. I want to have righteous habits. I want to have that kind of habits that are helpful to others and not detrimental to others, that are helpful to my soul and my spirit and my well-being and not bringing me down and putting me further into the place of anxiety or depression or fear that I'm trying to get out of. And so often we end up doing the very things that will lead us to the place that we don't want to be. Yeah. So we need to change our mindset. We need to decide, all right, my habits are creating my habitation. The way that I live, the life that I have, is a direct result of my habits. The second thing I want you to get is this. Habits aren't happenstance. It means habits don't happen by accident. Yeah. Let me explain that to you. Habits are successive decisions that are made conscientiously. So you may make a mistake, but if you make a habit out of your mistakes, it's because you consistently chose that thing over and over again. There's a difference in making a mistake and having a habit of doing the wrong thing. Listen, we all make mistakes. You do it, I do it. None of us are perfect. We're going to mess up time and again. But the goal is that when we make a mistake, we repent and we move on. We don't make a habit out of our mistake. And so often we wonder, how did I get here? Because you made conscientious decisions again and again and again, not realize that you were forming a habit, and you thought that the habit that you're walking in was a happenstance. Well, I just woke up one day and I was like this. No, you made decision after decision after decision. So you may make a mistake once, but when you willfully repeat it over and over again, it's no longer a mistake. It's a full-blown habit. Now, everyone makes mistakes, but don't turn your mistakes into habits. So remind yourself, habits are not mistakes. They're not by happenstance. If I want healthy habits, then here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to choose to do consistently the right thing. I'm going to have to choose intentionally and in close succession to do this the right thing over and over again. And it's important that I point out to you this, that who you hang out with will drastically influence your habits. Yeah. Now, that's why we didn't just read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, because it's the only place in the Bible that says habit. We read it so that we can learn from it. That Paul, he heard a Greek poet named Menander say this phrase in one of his plays, bad company corrupts good habits. And Paul said, that is a truth that I need to relay to the Corinthians. And so he told us, do not be deceived. In other words, wake up, get your head out of the sand, and understand who you're hanging out with can corrupt the goodness that's inside of your heart. You may have all the right intentions in the world, but evil company will corrupt, will tear down, and will ruin the good habits that you've developed in your life. And I want to tell you this, nothing is worth getting out of the good habits that you have developed inside of your life. Now, I know a habit is hard to give up. It's something that we do consistently, that it becomes ingrained in our nature. But we have this truth that if I hang out with the wrong people, I'll have the wrong habits. But we can flip that on the other side. If I hang out with the right people, yeah, I'll have the right habits. If I hang out with righteous people, I'll end up doing righteous things. And so it's important that we understand, that who you hang out with directly affects your habits. So if you're doing your best to please God in every single way, you can actually work against yourself by opening up your heart to the wrong people. Good. So, who you hang out with matters, and that doesn't change when you become an adult. So often, we want to talk to our teenagers and our young people. Choose your friends wisely. Guess what, grown-ups? Choose your friends wisely. You don't outgrow this and think, well, I'm an adult. I can be just fine. No, Paul wasn't writing just to children. He wasn't writing just to teenagers. He was writing to the church, and he said, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Why? Because people that you surround yourself with have a huge influence on your life. So you may ask, well, what are some good habits that I should have? I don't want to just tell you what not to do. I want to tell you what to do. Okay? Because we're pretty good at figuring out, we know what we shouldn't be doing, but sometimes we need some help to figure out, well, what is the actual path that I should be taking? Well, Micah chapter 6, verse 8 lays this out very plainly for us. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. When it says he has shown you, the Greek word for shown, the Hebrew word for shown means to be conspicuous. It means he's not hiding it. And so often we are so confused about what we should do, and he's already made it so obvious to us. Yeah. There's really no excuses. He's laid the book open. He's given us his word. He's given us Jesus. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and he will dwell inside of us. He'll advocate for us. He'll comfort us. He'll counsel us. He's there to help us in every way, and we're still wondering, what is it that I should do? Well, he's already made it plainly obvious to us what we should do and what is good, and that word good means what is beautiful, what is best. That as he looks down on his children, he goes, when you do this, I find it beautiful. When you do this, I find it absolutely the best way that you could possibly choose to live your life. And this is what I require of you. Now, a lot of people check out right there because they're like, I don't want any requirements. Well, if you don't want any requirements, then you're going to have to miss out on the best way of living. Because the only way to get to the best way of living is to submit yourself to the requirements that God has for you. It's just like with a job. They may give you benefits, but if you don't meet the requirements of the job, you're going to miss out on the benefits. And so it's important that we realize, as our Lord, as our God, He has the right to require things of us in our life. And this is what He says that we should do. He says we should act justly, we should love mercy, and we should walk humbly with our God. I want you to realize this. This is not just for a select few people. It says, He has shown you, O man. When He talks about man, He's saying mankind, all of humanity. This is what's best. This is what's good. This is what's required for anyone that is going to be a part of my kingdom. This is what He wants us to focus on and to habitually do in our life. And I want to relate these three things, and we're going to break them down, in regards to habits that we can form in our life. So first we have to get rid of the bad habits. But if we get rid of the bad habits, but we don't replace them with good habits and healthy habits, then we're just going to find ourselves going right back to the bad habits that we already eliminated from our life with the help of the Lord. So I want to relate these to three types of habits. Number one, act justly. We're going to have holy habits. Then He says, love mercy. We're going to have helpful habits. And then walk humbly. We're going to have humble habits in our life. Now I want to break these down for you today. So act justly. Holy habits. The word justly means an ordinance. It's something that God has prescribed for our life, a certain manner of conduct or way of living that He's requiring of us. That as He looks upon His children that name the name of God and say, I'm a Christian, I follow the way of Jesus Christ, He says, well, if you're going to do that, this is what I require of you. This is the best way to do it. I've shown you, you need to act justly. You need to live by the ordinances that I've given you in your life. Now, we know that in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God says, be ye holy as I am holy. That means that we should have holy habits in our life. And I want you to understand this. Holiness is not something to be scared of, and it's not something to run from. Holiness is not legalism. Legalism is legalism. Holiness is to be set apart totally unto God. It's to be sanctified. It's to be sacred. It's to give yourself wholly to the one that is truly holy. And so it's something that we shouldn't be scared of. It's something we're invited into as children of God. That we should look at that and not go, be holy as I am holy. Wow, how am I ever going to do that? We should look at it and go, wow, He's actually inviting me to partake in His holiness. He's allowing me, though I have sinned, though I've fallen short, though on my own I could never make it. He's saying, you can come in and you can be holy the same way that I am holy. That's an amazing invitation that because of fear and because of poor teaching and bad doctrine in the church, we've thought holiness is something that nobody can attain. But let me tell you how important it is. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so we need to have holiness in our life. And if we don't have holy habits, we won't be walking in holiness. Listen, I believe in grace. By grace we've been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe that the grace of God is unmerited favor. But I think that we are doing ourselves a disservice when we live in an unholy manner and say we're holy by grace. Grace empowers you to be holy. It doesn't cover up your unholy living and then make it right all of a sudden. And so I want to be a person that I have holy habits in my life. I'm set apart. I'm consecrated. Then I've come out from among the world and I've been separate unto the Father to be in the world and not of it. And so He has shown us this is the best way that He wants us to live. Look at your neighbor today and say, get yourself some holy habits. Some of y'all got offended right there. That's okay. We'll work through that. So you may ask, well, okay, all right, I need some holy habits. I got you. Well, what are some holy habits? Well, let's just start with the very basics. Let's start at the very beginning. As Fraulein Maria said, that's a very good place to start. Some of y'all have never seen The Sound of Music. I was homeschooled, so I grew up on stuff like that, old movies. That's all we were allowed to watch. Let's start with the basics. How about reading the Bible? That's a holy habit. In fact, did you know that in 2021, Statistica.com did a survey, and they found that of Christians, 11% of Christians read their Bible on a daily basis. 11%. Now, Some of you guys feel really good about yourself right now. Some of you may not feel so good about yourself right now. That's okay. Right now is an opportunity to change. It's an opportunity to start a new habit of reading the Bible. I've said this before. I'll say it till the day I die. Reading the Bible every day is not legalistic. It's a privilege. This is a gift from God, not a burden from God. This is not something I have to do. This is something that I get access to. It's part of being a child of God that I want to learn, because man shall not live upon bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what if we develop the healthy habit? Listen, I'll tell you this. You won't find yourself as deceived, because there's so many times when they say, do not be deceived, do not be deceived, do not be deceived. It's warning us. It's protecting us. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. So when we develop the holy habit of reading the holy word of God every single day, then guess what? We're going to be more equipped. We're going to be more prepared. We're not going to stumble so much. We're not going to be deceived so much. We're not going to fall into temptation so much, because we have equipped ourselves with a holy habit of reading the word of God. How about praying? Praying is a holy habit that I bet if they did studies, more people read their Bible than pray every day. And I'm not, and I'm all for, you know, just Lord, give me a good day, bless the day. But that's not just what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a prayer life. Talking about getting into your prayer closet and beseeching the Father, knowing that without Him, there's no way that you're going to make it through the day. Realizing that I'm going to pray without ceasing. As I go throughout the day, I'm going to commune with Him. I'm going to talk with Him, because Jesus said this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, He didn't mean nothing, because there's obviously a lot of people out there today that are doing plenty of things apart from Jesus. What He meant is you can do nothing that matters, nothing of sustenance. Nothing that's actually going to change the world or bring about hope or bring about peace. And so we need to commune with Him throughout the day, because anything we do apart from Him, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's nothing. It's empty. It's worthless. So let's develop the habit of prayer. I'm not just talking about praying for 4 hours every morning. I'm talking about as you go throughout your day asking God, lead me, guide me. Show me what to say. Show me what to do. As I go into this meeting, God, help me to be a light. How can I pray for my coworker that's struggling? How can I help my neighbor down the road? That we're communing with Him when we're praying. We're developing not just a moment of prayer, but a habit of prayer. That's a holy habit. How about attending church? Come on, somebody. Y'all can amen that, because y'all are here. You don't even have to feel bad about that one. You can be like, hey, I got it. I'm doing it. No, I said habit of attending church. I didn't say the act of attending church. No, I'm just kidding. But as we develop the habit, I believe that church attendance is so healthy for a person. You know why? Because when we come into here, we're fellowshipping with like-minded people. The praise and worship is great, and I hope that you worshiped God with all your heart today. I hope you felt the presence of God. The ministry is awesome. It's needed. The word of God, you're getting edified. You're getting taught. But you know what's really important that we miss out on a lot? Just the connection and the fellowship. We didn't promise free shaved ice today so you'd show up. We're giving free shaved ice today so that you'll fellowship with one another, so that you'll get across the table from one another. Like it says in the book of Acts, they broke bread together. That when you come to supper at the well on the last Wednesday of every month and you begin to talk and you begin to hear, you can bear one another's burdens and you can pray for one another. That is a healthy habit that you can have in your life that's going to make you stronger, because two are better than one. And so as we try to go throughout life on our own without the habit of developing godly relationships, that, listen, if you want to find godly people, the best place to look is church, hopefully, okay? And so hopefully when you come in here, you're finding people that have healthy habits, holy habits. It doesn't mean we build this little cult that it's us and nobody else can come in and we never go out. But church is a place that as you attend and you develop the holy habit of coming to church, that you're equipped. You're prepared. You've developed relationships and you're better because of it. How about worship, praise? Here's a holy habit for you, fasting. And not just in January when the whole church does it, because everybody ate too much over Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, we need a fast, man. We need a fresh start. How about fasting, because it's in the word of God to do? This is the fast that I have chosen, says the Lord over in the book of Isaiah, to loose the bonds of wickedness, right? And so what if we develop the holy habit throughout the year? Fasting. Listen, it sounds crazy. It sounds weird. It's not. It's a holy habit that we need to have in our life. I'll give you this promise that if you will do these things, not sporadically, but consistently, and make them habits, holiness won't seem so unattainable. Yeah. But when we're living with no direction, no guidance, No holy habit of Bible reading, prayer, attending church, fasting, worshiping, all these things, then it's going to feel like I can never get there. Even though he's equipped us and empowered us to do it, listen, God will give you the power to do it, but he doesn't do it for you. Okay? You still have to make the decision, I'm going to live a holy and a set apart life. Because through the reading of God's word, you're equipped and you're educated on how to live. By spending time with him in prayer, you're able now to make the right decisions because you have counsel that could only come from him. By attending church, you're engaging with fellowship and you're worshiping. You're being edified by the word. By worshiping, you're emptying yourself of selfishness and filling yourself with the presence of God. By fasting, you're fixing your soul on him to draw closer to him and to give him more of yourself. So holy habits help to overcome unholy habits. If you're dealing with some unholy habits, just start implementing some holy habits in your life. Let me just give you an example. It's really hard to lust and read the Bible at the same time. So if you're struggling with lust, just make a habit out of reading the Bible. Because you'll realize that as you fill yourself with the Word of God, your desires begin to change. Your heart begins to change. It's really hard to gossip or complain and pray at the same time. So if you find yourself, I have a bad habit of gossiping, let's focus on the habit of prayer. Let's pray more. He said you can cast all your cares on me. Why? Because I care for you. So instead of going to Sister Yeye and Brother Bozo and telling them about all your problems, why don't you go to God, the one that can actually do something about them, right? So we're going to have holy habits. Next, he says, I want you to love mercy. And to me, that speaks of helpful habits. Now, it's important that we understand, he didn't just say, I want you to show mercy. He said, I want you to love mercy. I want you to have an intimate relationship with mercy. I want you to be the type of person that you love to do it. How many of you guys have something that you love to do? It's just, you find great enjoyment out of it, right? Well, what if we found great enjoyment out of showing mercy? What is mercy? Simply put, it's extreme goodness and kindness. What if we looked at the world through those kind of lenses where we were like, you know what? I just love to show God's kindness to other people. I just love to help the hurting. I love to lift up the broken. I love to find out where I can lend a hand that will actually help somebody else. He said, I want you to love it. I want you to get immense pleasure and joy out of helping other people. So that says this, look for other people to help. Make a habit out of it to where it's hard to go to Walmart without helping somebody instead of going Walmart, go to Walmart hoping you can avoid everybody. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all walk down the aisles like this. Like, I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want nothing to do with what's going on. What if we walked into everywhere that we went showing, wondering, how can I show mercy? How can I lend a helping hand? How can I create a habit out of helping other people? Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Selfishness is a poisonous disease that we must rid ourselves of in the church. We have got to be focused. How do I esteem others as better than myself? I'm not saying that you don't need time for you. You don't need time to refresh. What I'm saying is we should live in such a way that we've developed holy habits, that we're filling ourselves with the Word of God. We're getting filled up in times with His presence so that when we go out into the world, we actually have something worth giving. We actually have something that will be beneficial and helpful to our coworkers and to our neighbors and to the people that we see out in the street. What if it became a part of your life to seek out people to show extreme kindness to? That's what having the habit of being helpful is. Here's an idea, gentlemen. Be helpful around the house. Don't just take this and go, okay, all right, I'm gonna help out. You know, no, be helpful at home. Everything starts at home. Yeah. So, gentlemen, don't be an alpha male at the office and an alpha deadbeat at home, okay? That's just a wise warning for you, okay? All the women like that when all the men were like, I think we're going to find a new church. I kind of like that stuff where the man's the Lord of the house. I kind of like that kind of preaching. I kind of like where he, you know, listen, we cannot be one way to our community, one way at church, and a different way at home. It all starts at home. It's okay to unload the dishwasher every once in a while. Don't worry. No one's going to sneak around the counter and take your man card out of the back of your pocket, okay? So let's be helpful and let's start at home because the habits that you have are actually only as real as when no one else is looking. Because most of the bad habits that we have, think about it, we don't do them in public. Because we're Christians, right? We have face to save. We have a name to keep up, right? Sometimes I admire people that are just like, this is who I am, and I really don't care what you think about it, right? But sometimes as Christians, we're like, well, I can't really do that because I'm a Christian. Whatever happened to, I don't want to do that because I'm a Christian, because my heart's been changed, right? So if we have bad habits, we do everything within our power to hide them. But if we had a good habit, we'd do everything in our power to let everybody know the good habits that we got, right? And Jesus said, when you go help somebody, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Make it so inconspicuous, because you're not seeking to get a rise out of other people knowing what you're doing. Your only goal is that you would be a help to those people. And so it's important that we make it a habit and remember the words of our Savior. He said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Let's make a habit out of giving. And I want to ask you this. What would DeKalb County look like if just those of us who were here decided to make a habit out of being helpful? What if you chose, you know what? I'm gonna volunteer 10 hours a week or a month, whatever you can give, to Mark for Life. I'm gonna sponsor a neighbor. I'm gonna bring some supplies whenever they're gathering more backpack supplies. I'm gonna find ways that I can be helpful. I'm telling you, we would change this county if we took the mentality of not just doing it every now and then, but making a habit out of it. That it wasn't just, oh, I do it once time a year and I felt really good about myself when I did it. No, that we make a habit out of seeking to help other people. Yeah. That will change our community. Amen? Amen? The last one is to walk humbly with your God, and we're going to talk about having humble habits. We want to make humility our default response in each and every situation. No matter what it is, let's respond in humility. Why? Because usually you respond in the habits that you've created. This is my habitual response. This is my knee-jerk reaction. What if humility was our knee-jerk reaction? What if being someone that was gracious and compassionate, that was our response, instead of being someone that was rude and coarse and terse and hard to get along with, right? So the scripture makes it clear, making us aware of this truth in multiple places, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That means that he literally sets himself in opposition to anyone that is operating under the pretense of pride. So when you walk in pride, you make yourself an enemy of God. But he gives grace, which is favor, to people that are walking in the habit of humility. Micah 6:8 says, God's revealed to us the best way to live. And he showed us his required way of life for us, and it is one of humility. That as we walk with God, we don't get big-headed about it. We don't become so pious and righteous that we think we're better than other people. We ought to make it a habit in our life to be humble. And when I say humble, I want you to get this, not faux humility. Oh, no. But real, true humility that comes from our heart, that we don't seek the spotlight. We don't seek the recognition. Our only goal is this. I want to walk with God. I want to do what's right. And I want to help other people. In fact, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men so that they can see your good deeds and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. We're not here to seek glory. In fact, he said, I won't share my glory with anybody. And so if he won't, then why are we trying to do something that he won't even give us access to? And so we're just wasting our time. Let's seek to be humble, true humility, seeking to esteem others as better than ourselves. And I want to encourage you to do this. If you call yourself a member of the way, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, do not go a day without humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord. Find somewhere, get on your knees. I'm going to be honest, after playing softball yesterday in the school of ministry softball tournament over in Scottsboro, getting on my knees this morning was a true sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Because I was like, Lord, I'll get down, but I don't know if I can get up, right? Like, that's going to be a whole different story. But find a way to humble yourself before the King. If nothing else, it reminds you that you're not in charge. You're not in control. He's God, and you're nothing but a bag of bones. And if it were not for his spirit that was dwelling inside of you, we would all be lost and damned to an eternity in hell. But because of him and because of his grace, we have life and we have it more abundantly. And that's enough to make me remember I need to be humble. Yeah. And I need to say thank you. Not just to him, but anytime someone does something for me, yeah, I need to be thankful for it. You know, people that are prideful don't say thank you. Yeah. But people that are truly humble, they realize somebody else gave so that I could have. Let's be people that are truly thankful and grateful and walk in humility. If you don't intentionally choose humility, you will naturally develop a habit of pride. Yeah. It's just the way we're wired. It doesn't matter if you are the greatest at something or the worst at something. Pride is not always thinking you're better than other people. Pride sometimes is simply just thinking about yourself too much. There you go. Yeah. Whether that's in a negative perspective or in a proper perspective. But if you do not intentionally decide, I'm humbling myself before God, I'm not going to be resisted by him, but I'm going to receive grace from him because he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You will naturally develop the habit of pride because the sin nature that's inside of each and every one of us longs to be praised, longs to be applauded, longs for people to recognize our accomplishments, no matter what it is we do. And it's true from you watch a child. They take their first steps. Everybody cheers, everybody claps. They get a big old smile on their face because from the very time that we are born, we all long to be accepted, long to be loved, long to be applauded. And listen, there's a time and there's a place for that. But when we begin to seek that recognition and when we begin to allow our heart to be lifted up because of it, it becomes a problem in our life. Yeah. So we need to have the habit of humility. We need to take the advice of Solomon. Let another man praise you, not your own lips. A stranger and not your own mouth. That means it's okay for other people to congratulate you, to celebrate you, but when they do, be humble about it. Don't brag. Don't make a big deal about it. So remember this as we begin to close today. Our habits create our habitation. So if you don't like how you're living, you should probably sit down and ask yourself, what habits am I practicing? What am I doing on it? And listen, you may say, well, I'm reading the Bible every day. Okay. But are you allowing the Word of God to penetrate your heart every day? Yeah. Not just reading it. Are you giving yourself wholly to it? Yeah. Are you living it? Are you obeying it? Does it have free course in your life? You may say, well, I am praying every day. Well, then maybe you should inspect your prayer time. Am I spending more time asking for me than I am asking for others? Yeah. Am I spending more time complaining than I am praising? Begin to inspect your habits. Are they holy? Because if they're not holy, then guess what? You're not going to have a happy life. I found out the happiest people are the holiest people. And so if we develop holy habits in our life, we'll begin to have true happiness and true joy. And I always also want to remind you, habits don't happen by happenstance. You will never accidentally read your Bible or accidentally pray or accidentally go to church. It's conscious decisions that we have to make. And so often we want to take the pressure off of us and put it on somebody else or put it on God. Today, I came to challenge you to tie into what we talked about last week about finishing strong in 2023. This is how you're going to finish strong. By having holy habits, by having helpful habits, and by having humble habits. And as we do that, we'll draw closer to God. We will please him because this is the requirement that he's placed upon our life. And listen, we will have the best way of living because he said, I've already shown you, this is what's good, this is what's best, and this is how I want you to live your life. Amen? Can you stand to your feet with me today? Sometimes the simplest words are the hardest to grab hold of. Because so often we think, well, I already know those things. Knowing something and doing something are two completely different things. And I came to challenge you today to create habits in your life that are going to be pleasing to God, that are going to be helpful to other people, and that are going to cause you to not get big-headed as you walk in holiness and as you help other people. Because that's what happens. We develop these habits that are holy. We start helping people, and all of a sudden we start thinking, man, I'm killing it. I'm doing great. This is awesome. And we have to remember, I need to be humble in the midst of being holy. I need to be humble in the midst of helping other people. And most of all, I need to walk with God. Because that's why we came on this journey to begin with because we couldn't make it on our own. Can you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you that for your word, and I pray that every single heart that's here today, that somehow, some way, there's been an impact made and there's been a seed planted. Lord, I thank you that you gave us everything that we need that pertains both to life and to godliness. So we don't have to look at this today and wonder, can I do that? Can I really create holy habits? Can I really help other people? Can I really walk humbly with God? I know that we can because you have given us what we need to do so. And so, Father, I pray today over every single person. If you say, I want to be someone with healthy habits, someone with holy habits, helpful habits, and humble habits, would you just lift your hand just as a recognition to the Lord today? Father, I pray for every person that's making this declaration, making this commitment. Father, I thank you that you will give us the grace to do what is needed. And I pray that you would strengthen your people today. God, I know that it's on us to carry it out, but we need your strength. We need the energy that you supply, the help that you give by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm asking that you would help us to change this community by living in a holy manner, living in a helpful manner, living in a humble manner. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. And I ask that everything that was said would be sealed under your name today. And Lord, I just speak once again the name of Jesus over every single person that is here today, that we would walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of our flesh, that we would conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of repentance, and that we would truly be the type of people that would make a difference in the lives of others. We love you and we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, don't forget, you can go visit at Logan at the table in the back. Get yourself a ticket on the way out. I know it's a little warm in here. We're working on getting a new air conditioning unit, which hopefully will be installed soon. But I want to say thank you so much for being here today. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you. And may you do what is best and required of you to act justly, having holy habits, to love mercy, to have helpful habits, and to walk humbly with your God in the manner of a humble habit, making a difference in the lives of others. I bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with God. We love you guys.